This is episode 136 on October 22nd, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other stuff. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And we're back again. And so far, so good. We haven't had the problems that we had last episode. That was fun to edit. But couple problems happened. Skype was going in and out on us. And then the other thing was Matt couldn't hear any of the audio clips that I was playing. So he was pretty good about cueing in when I started laughing or talking, that he knew that the clips were done with. How are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good. I think most of those problems last week were on my end, and really what it came down to is I didn't want you to be bored after the podcast was over. So,
yeah. Oh, that was fun. Yeah. No, I'll tell you this: editing a show is if you're really picky, it can be very tedious, but sometimes you have to leave the scraps, you know, in the show so that people can hear, oh yeah, these guys are, you know, just normal. They make mistakes. They're not professionals. We do this, you know, for fun. And so, you know, if you listen live, you get to hear a lot of the stuff that doesn't end up on the show, but usually it's not this. It wasn't as bad as last week.
Yeah, I think you're actually blowing people's minds by telling them that we're not professional.
That's right. So what you been up to? What have you been doing since our last episode?
You know what, dude? It's peak foliage here in Ohio right now.
Nice.
And yeah, so everything's looking pretty epic, and I've been trying to just get out and photograph it as much as humanly possible. I managed to get out for almost 4 solid hours on Sunday, this past Sunday, and that was up in a park up in Cleveland, basically just along a river, and so that was pretty fun. And really kind of wish that I had a tripod mount for my new phone, because I really would have got some sweet long exposures with slow shutter cam had I had that. But oh well, there's always next time. And yeah, mostly that. And this makes me feel special, but it's not really a big deal, but I'm beta testing the next version of Nlight.
Nice. How's it going?
That's pretty fun. So far, so good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to like
say anything.
Yeah. I don't, they didn't swear me to secrecy or anything, but yeah, it's just like a fun little thing I got going on right now.
Well, yeah, you don't want to burn any of your bridges that you have built, you know, because you know, doing beta testing or you know, anything that you're doing on the quote unquote inside is a lot of fun, especially when it comes out later and people are raving about it. Like, yeah, I was playing with that way before you even got it, but that's cool. Oh yeah, Jeff in the chat channel is beta testing Snapseed, so you know what, Jeff,
very cool.
You need to tell them that they need to bring back the auto button from the previous model, because this one I'm not too thrilled with. Hopefully we'll get some of the features back from the last big change.
Well, what about you, Joe? What have you been up to?
Oh, let's see here. Working. I've been looking for a reason to kind of go out and actually take some pictures. Just the chaos of home life and work have kind of kept me from using my creative juices. And So I haven't done a whole lot. We celebrated my daughter's, my middle daughter's second birthday on Monday. And so we, you know, take pictures and videos so that we have those keepsakes for the future. When they get older, they can look back on those things. Plus, with family being, you know, out of state across the country, you know, it's nice to be able to send them video and pictures of the kids as they're doing things so that they can feel involved. So it's mainly been a lot of family stuff, but I'm I think a lot of the stuff I've been doing lately is trying to play around with editing and getting better at editing my images. So
yeah, it's definitely a lot to learn there, especially with all the different apps. You know, it's like it's one thing to kind of, you know, just be sitting at your computer and like learning Lightroom or learning Photoshop, because that's really all there is.
Yeah,
I mean, there's other stuff out there, but you know, those are the ones that's what people most people really use. But in the mobile world, and especially with the iPhones, it's so much different. There's so many great apps out there, and it's like you kind of want to use them all.
Yeah,
and you know, that's like kind of where I'm at. I'm still learning to use almost all these apps because, you know, I dabble in them a little bit, and then, you know, I might do that for like a couple of months, and then I'll kind of move on to another, you know, another app and dabble in that. But I never really become an expert in any of them.
Yeah, it can be, you can probably burn yourself out trying to figure out the, you know, all the apps that are out there. And a lot of times, you know, we find these cool apps that come out, and like myself, I always go back to Snapseed. But with you, Nlight came out and you stuck with Nlight. Now you probably still use Snapseed, but I think probably you're more heavy on Nlight than you are Snapseed these days. Is that correct?
I am, but it also depends on what I'm editing, I guess.
Yeah. You know,
like it depends on the photo, like the subject of the photo. So in my opinion, for like landscape type pictures, I really love how Nlight edits those pictures. I like the filters they have, and just overall, I feel like there's a little bit more control in Nlight than there is in Snapseed. But if I'm doing like a cityscape or maybe like a more intimate, like urban environment type thing, or like antique cars or something like that, for me, Snapseed reigns supreme. I think it really excels in creating like more of the grungy type pictures. I don't know. They just have like better filters for that. And I don't know. I still like both apps a lot.
Yeah. What was okay? You know, Google owns Snapseed now. Who did they buy it from again? It's going to bug me.
Snapseed was...
I know. I just threw it.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. I'm sure...
SmugMug.
Bread Geek could chuck... No, not SmugMug.
Dang it.
Oh, my goodness. Totally am spacing.
No kidding. Well...
Yeah, they were the ones that kind of came up with that control point technology.
Yeah, and they hit a home run right off the bat. And took their time running around the bases, you know. And I have to say, I want to say Snapseed's probably been out now for probably, what, 3-4 years?
It was Nick.
Nick software. That's right. Jeez.
I thought of it before I actually Googled it.
Hey, good job. Thanks. Yeah, Nick software hit a home run. And it's... I have to say, there aren't a whole lot of apps other than social media apps, there are not a whole lot of apps that have stayed in the forefront through these years. A lot of them will fall aside, you know, something else will come out, or they quit updating them or doing more development. And, you know, Snapseed has just been a juggernaut when it comes to editing. So I'm looking forward to what Jeff is playing around with, and hopefully we'll find out soon when they're going to release an update for it. So,
Very cool. Definitely. So, if I could kind of segue here, if you don't mind.
Sure. Can I play a jingle?
If you want to.
All right, here we go.
Focus point.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I just have a couple little things that I wanted to mention, but since we're talking about apps, and it actually feels like it's been a long time since we've talked about apps.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we always used to talk about, like, oh, this app came out and it's cool and this is what you could do in it and stuff. And we've kind of gotten away from doing that. And I think part of it is because there's just way too many apps. And, you know, like you were talking about in last week's episode, it's just impossible for us to, you know, to try them all out and really be able to give everybody a fair kind of review of them or whatever. However, I wanted to mention an app I came across this week, and I don't even remember where or how I found out about it, but it's pretty intriguing. So there's a website that you can go to. It's called, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes, it's polar.co, and polar is like polarr.co. And what it is, it's a web-based photo editor. So you just go in your browser and you type in polar.co and you get a photo editor, basically. And it's got like all the typical things that you would have in any photo editor, you know, your saturation and details and
filters.
There's a bunch of different filters, and the nice thing is they have them in like groups, which is pretty cool. So there's like an art group, and unfortunately for some reason I don't have the editor up in front of me at the moment.
But, I have it. So there's like most used, modern, film, art, and then you can create custom ones too.
Correct. Yes. So you can make filters and the whole nine yards. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool that you could just kind of go online and bring up this photo editor, and you just, you know, upload a photo to it, and you can make all these tweaks, and it's reasonably full featured. The only thing for me that it's really missing is it doesn't seem to have levels. It does have a curves adjustment, but it doesn't have levels. And it also doesn't really have a masking feature.
Right.
They have something they call a radial mask. But
is that really more of
it's really more of like adding in instead of taking away.
Is that like a vignetting?
No, not really, because it's like when you click on it and you apply it to your picture, you could change the shape of it. So it's like more of an oval or, you know, a bigger or smaller circle or whatever you want it to be. And then within that, you could change exposure, saturation, contrast, and stuff like that. So it's kind of more like it's adding in just this circle.
Yeah.
What I would prefer is like a masking feature where, like, let's say I decide to apply one of the filters, I would like to be able to mask it out, and that feature is lacking. But, you know, that's probably asking a lot from a web-based editor. And if you go on their website, they do have I don't really use too many Google products, so I don't know if the terminology is right, but if you use Chrome, there's an extension for Chrome.
That's what I'm using.
So you could bring it up in Chrome. There's also a download for Windows, so I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if that's like some sort of an extension or if it's like a standalone application. So I know everyone's wondering, like, why am I talking about this? Well, I thought it was a cool, editor. So I was checking it out, and it turns out that they actually have an iOS app also. Ooh. And they have an Android app and, for some reason, a BlackBerry app. There's already tons of editors out there. I mean, you can take your pick between Snapseed and Enlight, which we mention all the time, and you got Pixelmator and Filterstorm and the Photoshop apps. I mean, you name it, there's so many of them out there. But I thought, I'm going to give this one a shot and kind of see, how I like the interface and everything. And I actually think it's a really nice app. It's really easy to understand. Everything is like labeled really well as far as like what it does. And one of the things that I thought was really cool with it is, let's say you wanted to change the temperature in your, in your photo. So you can actually, in the app, if you have a, an iPhone, I don't know about Android and stuff, but you can push down on the temperature button, because all the little controls are kind of like little square buttons. And if you enable it, you can actually use the phone's gyroscope to make the adjustment. So if you were to tilt your phone forward, your picture will start to get warmer. And if you tilt your phone back towards you, it'll start to get cooler. And the more you tilt, the faster it makes the adjustment.
Oh, so I thought you have to enable it, right?
What's that?
Did you have to enable it?
Yeah, I think it asks like permission to do that or something.
Okay. Because I'm trying it right now. Let's
see. I just thought it was neat. I mean, it might be kind of gimmicky, but for some people that just might be like a better way to go about editing. I'm not sure.
When you're eating a cheeseburger different. And trying to shift your car into third and fourth gear, all you have to do is just take and tilt it. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, it's definitely cool, and it has like infinite undos. So you could actually kind of scroll through your history and then click on any point in the history of the edits that you made and basically delete like one of the steps, which is kind of cool. So I don't know. I just thought it was pretty neat.
No, I think this is cool. This is great. I downloaded the Chrome, so I've got it on my desktop, and when I click on it, it brings up a Chrome window, and I guess this is all done over the cloud, and then I downloaded the iOS app. And I have to say, the iOS app is a very nice looking user interface.
It is, yeah. It really is. I'm probably going to give it its fair shake, and it doesn't do as many things as like I want it to do. But I have a feeling that they'll add in some of the features that are missing, like masking. Probably in an upcoming update. That's really the big one for me. If they add in masking, then this will be a really great app as far as I'm concerned. It's one that I could see using on a more regular basis.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, very cool. I'm glad you saw this and told me about it.
Yeah. One other thing that I thought was really cool about it is, and this is both for the web-based editor and the iPhone app. It does have, for lack of a better way to describe it, like atmosphere adjustments. Mm-hmm. So you can basically add diffusion. But what I think is even better is the dehaze.
So
that will really add a lot of like punch and contrast to your like nighttime images. And if you actually watch their tutorials, if you go on the web-based thing, there's like a picture, it's like a mountain scene, and it says like, do you want to go through like a guided step-by-step thing and like how to edit this picture or whatever?
No.
And well, you wouldn't, a lot of people would say no, but I would encourage you to give it a try, because it really kind of opened my eyes in like how this editor works and like what it can do, because it's really crazy. The first couple steps that it walks you through, you end up making the picture look like total garbage, and it's like, are they sure this is what you're supposed to do? Because this looks like complete and total, you know, it looks so awful. And then the next couple steps, you know, you kind of pull it back, and it ends up looking, you know, relatively decent. Nice. So it's just pretty interesting how these adjustment features work. And I think doing the guided thing, it opened my eyes anyway into how these things work.
That's cool. Now this is, and just very cool.
One last thing to mention too, if anyone decides to try this out on the web, there's only certain file types that you could import into it. Obviously it'll do JPEG, because pretty much everything does. It doesn't seem to want to take a TIFF file, but it will take certain RAW files. So like, I think if you're shooting a Nikon, for sure it'll take the NEF files, and there's a couple other ones, and you can go on their website and it tells you what, you know, what it'll open.
Dave in the chat room says that, Matt, you had me at dehaze. Well, actually, right, you didn't on, say it, yeah, that way, but yeah.
It's a cool feature, the dehaze.
Yeah, very cool. Oh, now, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to use this one this weekend, and having it on the computer and then also having it on your phone, I want to see how much of a difference it would be to do either one, and put some side-by-side comparisons, because this is a very promising editor, in my opinion, for me. And, you know, I probably still use Snapseed, but this one so far, I'm thinking is going to be a lot of fun to use. Jeff wants, yeah, to know how they how does it save them? Export.
Jeez, I forget. It exports definitely into JPEG or PNG. Those are the two formats that you could pick. And then you could, if you like, pick JPEG, you could pick different quality levels.
Yeah, the Chrome one only showed JPEG. So I don't know. And you could do a batch export also. Oh. So.
Yeah, I guess it's sounding like depending on, like, if you're using just the web-based editor, or if you're in Chrome, and Windows might be different, you might get different features. So I definitely don't have a batch export, but I do have the options to export in either JPEG or PNG format.
I don't think Jeff wants to know if there's a limit on edits. I don't think there is.
I don't think so. Not that I've seen. And I actually took one photo and kind of clicked on a lot of things just to try them out. I mean, I had a pretty long list of edits, and it didn't tell me I had to stop or anything. So
very cool. Well, cool. If anybody wants to find this, you can find it in our show notes. We'll have it available And that way you don't have to search around for it. And tell us what you think about it. And, you know, we'll put up a Facebook post about it too. And leave a comment and tell us what you think. Very cool. All right. So you have something else you want to mention?
Yeah, just a couple more things. I wanted to just mention IM again. So last week I was talking about IM, how I've been uploading pictures and putting them in the marketplace and Getty and like all that jazz. And I talked about how I need to go like back through like folders on my computer and find like all my best iPhone pictures and put them in like one folder or, you know, put them in a folder in like iPhoto or something and then sync that to my iPhone so that I could have them all on my phone and then go through them and like re-edit them and upload them to IM. Very long and tedious and boring sounding.
Yeah.
And this week, because IM was listening to our podcast and they heard me say that and they thought, Matt, that's crazy. That's so much work. We don't want you to have to do that. Now I can just go on IM's website and upload pictures.
Nice.
Yeah. So you could actually, I think, do a batch upload. I might be wrong about that, but I think so. And it will actually, like one of the big things when you're putting photos like in a marketplace, and this isn't just with IM, but like any kind of like stock type thing, the big thing is tags, right?
Right.
You got to tag your pictures so that they could be found. On IM, it saves your tags so that, you know,
you don't have to keep typing them in.
Correct. Yeah. So you can apply like one tag to like multiple pictures at the same time, which is really cool. So this is going to save me like, I don't even know how much time, but like tons and tons of time. So if there's, I just thought I'd mention it in case there's anybody out there that's, you know, deciding to try IM and maybe put some pictures in the marketplace and, you know, they want to do like what I was talking about last week, but thought, holy cow, that sounds just awful.
Yeah, right.
This makes it a lot easier.
Very cool.
And then the last thing I wanted to mention is iOS had an update. I think it came out yesterday, Wednesday. We're now up to iOS 9.1.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time is flying. So there's like a bunch of different like little things with it, you know, that little improvements or whatever. The only one that really seemed like it pertained to photography in any way is they made a improvement to the live photos. And I was hoping the improvement was going to be in the playback so they don't look so jerky, yeah. But unfortunately that's not what it is. This is coming straight from Apple. Live photos now intelligently senses when you raise or lower your iPhone so that live photos will automatically not record these movements.
Oh.
So I guess that's a good thing too. Yeah. So, you know,
I guess people, it looks bad when live photos is all, you know, when it's kind of jerky and, you know, all of a sudden it just, the camera goes up or the camera comes down or does all the things that they didn't show during the keynote. So now they're going to try to fix that so that people's live photos look somewhat good.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, if you're an avid live photos person, go out there and update your phone.
Very good. Yeah. What? Okay. What's taco emoji?
Sorry, the distraction from the 150 new emojis.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, got distracted by the chat room, the chat channel. yeah, you can get distracted. If you guys aren't here live, listening live, and enjoying the chat channel, you're missing out. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I think for me that pretty well covers it. That was a lot of jibber jabber, and I just did.
Well, the other thing too, Mark posted in Facebook, in our Facebook Tiny Shutter Facebook page, Boomerang, which is another Instagram app, has just been released. And what it does is it plays videos, I think, are they 3-second videos? They're probably the 15 seconds, but you can take a certain chunk of video and it plays it forward and plays it backwards as smooth as possible. But it goes, you know, forwards and backwards. I guess that's where they get the boomerang from. But it's another creative tool. I don't know if I'll download it, but I want to hear what you guys think about it. And did you download this, Matt?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I don't think it's doing 15-second videos. In fact, I actually think they're really, really short.
Probably more like five.
Like I actually think it's only really like a second or two of motion, but the actual like video that it creates will be longer because it's like making it play back and forth.
Dave says 4 seconds.
Okay, well there you go. So it's really like 2 seconds, and then it plays it in reverse.
Yeah.
2 seconds. It's not even really a video. It's a burst of photos that it's doing.
It's more to so me. It reminds me of a GIF or GIF.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could share these on Instagram and Facebook. You actually don't have to have an Instagram account to use this app. It'll save the videos like right to your camera roll, I believe. But if you do have Instagram and you want to share these videos on Instagram, then you could use filters and the other editing tools on Instagram to, do whatever kind of stuff you want to do to it.
Yeah. Very cool.
So,
all right.
So, yes, I just verified it. The boomerang videos are automatically saved to your phone, so they'll be in your phone's camera roll.
Very cool. And then your kids will look back on it one day and say, why?
Yeah, two other important things is you are able to use your front-facing camera, you know, so you can do some boomerang selfies. And but there is no sound. The videos don't have any audio.
Well, that'll save on memory space for Instagram.
Yes.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's jump topics and let's talk about our weekly photo challenge. We started a photo challenge this last episode, and it was a macro challenge. And I have to say, we had a lot of activity on Facebook. We had probably about 23 submissions to the Facebook page. We had one to Instagram, but I have to say, I was blown away by the quality of the images. And I just want to scroll through here and mention who had contributed. Greg McMillan, Richard Lane, Dave Podner, Michael Aldrich, Ruth Podner, Bread Geek, Jeff Simpson, Scott Bernard. Greg had three or four more. Mark Staben had a few. Roma Robbins, Fred Zelders, Sharon Joubert. Sorry, it's a French last name. Joubert. Joubert. I want to say that's right. Mark Ball, Frank Tag, T T-A-G-G-E. Let's see here. Kristen Stanley, of course, Matt and I did, and I think that's it. So we had quite a few, and I have to say, a majority of them were flower pictures.
yeah.
And, I mean, if you want, if you have to zoom into something, a flower is an awesome subject. So bugs and flowers. There was a lot of nature in this this challenge, and I have to say, it looks awesome. What did you think?
No, the pictures are great. I know for me, I actually kind of forgot about this until last night, and then by then I didn't really have time to like come up with something creative, so I pretty much had to use macros that I already had, but yeah. I used like my most recent ones.
Yeah.
So they're only like a week or so old or whatever, but they just happen to be flowers. But like even though the group on a majority posted flowers, they're actually really good. So there's like Roma Robbins has the raindrops on roses. I love that. I'm a sucker for those pictures. I think they're pretty cool. Plus she edited it with Nlight, so that's bonus points. Mark Staben had a photo of a little spider. That was pretty cool. And he used the Olu clip on the iPhone 6 to grab that shot.
Yeah.
So that was the other cool thing is just seeing the different ways that people took their photos. There was a handful of Olu clip shots.
Yep.
But a lot of people use the macro mode in Camera Plus.
Yes.
And, I'm going to be honest with you. It's so convenient to do that. I mean, you don't have to carry a lens with you or anything like that. I just think for me, that's working out pretty well. Although, even with that macro mode in Camera Plus, you could still only get so close.
Right.
And, the add-on lenses really, they do allow you to get closer.
Well, that so. And I think the add-on lenses for some really give you a sliver of depth of field so that you're just bombarded from front to back with bokeh and then just a little bit of your subject is in focus, and that's sometimes hard to do. A lot of the camera manufacturers have special lenses, macro lenses for that reason, and I think they can increase the depth of field while getting in real close, but sometimes you're limited to what type of the depth of field by just the manufacturer.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I do like about using the Camera Plus macro mode is if you get the distance right between like your lens to your subject and then from your subject to the background, you can achieve a pretty good out of focus background, but it's easier to get your whole subject in focus, whereas sometimes with those lenses, like you said, you have such a narrow depth of field that you're not able to get the entire subject in focus, and sometimes that's a good thing and it looks really cool, but for me a lot of times that ends up being something that's really frustrating.
Yeah, it can get in the way of your subject, and if you use it too much, then it becomes a hindrance, because then you feel like you have to use it all the time, and I sometimes using depth of field should be one of those things you use sparingly. And it also depends on the subject. So if you do want to get if you want to know what people are using, go on to Facebook, ask them what they're using. If you like the images that they're producing, that is a great way of finding out what to get. Because a lot of times we buy things not knowing if we're going to like them or not. So having people in Facebook or that you can talk to and say, what did you use? How do you like it? Is a lot better than just going out and spending $70 to $150 on a device that you may or may not like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, and speaking of, buying things, that's the other thing with this challenge is, it actually turned me onto an iPhone accessory lens system that I had never heard of before. And now I kind of want it.
Nate, you did what?
I got turned on to a camera lens or a iPhone accessory lens that I'd never heard of before.
Oh,
and now
really?
I kind of want it.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically the way that all went down is in this thread on our Facebook group, Richard Lane was talking about, how the photos that were being posted were great. But if you want to see like some truly just epic macros, to check out a particular user on Instagram. So I went to that person's account and he was right. They were just absolutely stunning macro photos. And I was kind of looking through them and people were asking like, how are you getting these pictures? And she said, oh, I use this lens. It was called the Stylus.
Oh.
But instead of an S, it's spelled with a Z.
Yeah.
Like for the first letter. So I looked it up online and watched like a couple of videos about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I need to have that.
I'm looking it up right now just to make sure. The world's most versatile smartphone case. Okay. Oh, yeah. I've seen these. Oh, golly.
Yeah, there's always something, right?
Yeah, I saw her account, and I was blown away at the images she was producing. And she's only using a 5 or 5C iPhone also. So, and that may actually be old information on her account, but... Yeah, it's great to find somebody who has gone through and found the equipment that they like and are getting great images, and you don't have to, guess, should I pull the trigger or should I wait, or because there's a lot of times, I'd love to go to my wife and say, honey, can I buy blah, blah, blah? It's just, you don't want to waste your money on stuff and then have to turn around and try to recoup it. It doesn't usually work out.
Well, speaking of that, I'm actually considering selling my Moment lens, if you can believe that.
Wow. Are you going to do it on Facebook?
I don't know yet. I'm still mulling it over.
I was talking to Mark earlier this week, and going back to one of our interviews that we had with Chris McDonald, he said that he has one of his old iPhones with an Oloclip just permanently attached to it, and he's there, and he just grabs it and gets these images. And I'm like, what was I thinking? I've got a 4S sitting here, and I have an Oloclip that I could just... take and put it on there. Now what I need to do is cut out a case for it so that I can just have the Oloclip on there without worrying about dropping and breaking that phone. So that was one of those things that happened this week. I'm like, what was I thinking? I can do that. I don't have an Oloclip for the 6, and I don't think I'll get one for the 6. But the one that I have still works. The 4S is still a great camera. It's a great device, and there's no problems with it. I can get great images from it. I just have to remember that. It's not like when you upgrade, you don't throw things away. Well, some people do. I'm not one of those. But it still works. I mean, the iPhone, the 4S, the camera was the first 8 megapixel that they put in the iPhone. And the images were beautiful. They still work. I have to say that they can run, you know, neck and neck with my 6. So sometimes you have to think, okay, do I need to buy a new lens, or does the old one still work and the device that I have for it still work, and just go with that? And maybe you can use the 6 for other things, but I think that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my permanent macro camera, and the 6 will be for everything else.
That sounds like a good idea. I would do something like that too with my 5 if I was going to keep it. But I'm.
Oh, you're having issues with your 5.
Well, no, I'm not. Oh. Pretend I'm not. I'm trying to unload it.
Oh, okay.
So everything's fine.
Oh, okay. well, cool. All right, let's segue over to so before we move into post pick of the week, we are talking about possibly. And actually, this will probably be the first episode we do this. But we're talking about using the weekly photo challenge as the place where we get our post pick of the week. The images that we're getting are a lot fewer than what we get normally on our Instagram using the hashtag #TinyShutter. But I think it would help if our episodes were somewhat coordinated with the weekly challenges. And it would be a great way for us as a group with the challenge to kind of somewhat pick a winner. I'd say, yeah, pick a winner. So Mark and I talked about it. I talked to Matt about it. And we're like, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So what we're going to do this week is it's my turn since Matt chose last week. I'm going to pick from the group of images from the weekly challenge our post pick of the week. And that'll be our album art. And we will highlight our listener and show off their great work and be able to sort of build more momentum for the weekly photo challenge. And so we're going to do that. So let me, helps if I have this up. Let me do this.
Post pick of the week.
All right. So our first post pick of the week with the photo challenge is going to be, where'd it go? There we go. It's going to be Sharon Jobert. Sorry. And what she had was a beautiful image of an assassin bug. And there's a lot of bright oranges and bright yellows, a lot of bokeh, and very little depth of field. And it makes for, I have to say, an amazing image. I love the colors. I love the subject. It's a, I have to say, it's a very pleasing image. And she said she uses her iPhone 5 with an external macro, and I'm going to assume macro lens. Do you see that one, Matt?
I am looking at it almost full screen on my computer. It's scaring me.
I know, it's great. She's going to be our first post pick of the week from the weekly photo challenge. So what are your thoughts on the image?
Just like you, I love the colors. They're almost complementary, like the orange and the green, but it's almost like it's a small little rainbow, you know, going from orange to yellow to green. And the subject, the assassin bug, is very intriguing because I'm not familiar with an assassin bug, nor do I want to be. but I do like the picture. I mean, she got the focus in the right place. You know, it's on the bug's head. Its eyes are in focus. And then the rest of it really just falls out into, like, it's just really soft bokeh. Like you said, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I wonder how many takes she took to get to the image that we're looking at, because if there's any sort of wind, or your hands are not as steady, the bug moves. I imagine there's probably a couple takes where it took her to get to this final image. I think that would be kind of fun to find out.
Yeah, I have some macros that I shot today, and this it was like some weird plant, and it was blowing in the wind. So I haven't looked at the shots yet, but I'm sure that I took like 20 pictures of like the same thing, because I'm like, okay, there's got to be at least one that's in focus.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, congratulations, Sharon. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, please go onto Facebook or listen for the weekly challenge hashtag for Instagram. And we will look through Facebook and Instagram and choose an image for not only our album art, but a way to showcase our listeners and the awesome images that they produce. So, all right. So now I think we need to pick this week's challenge. And we had some suggestions, and let me close this. We had some suggestions on Facebook, and then also I wanted to kind of pull the chat channel and Matt and see what we can find come up with. So, all right, let's see here. The Facebook thread, we had fall leaves. Dave had suggested that. He said, sorry, Australian friends. And then Mark says, well, how about just leaves? Since here in North America, we're actually north of the equator, we're in our fall season. And the leaves are going from green to red to yellow, all sorts of different shades. I know up in New England, you know, there are beautiful images of trees and their fall colors. We have the same thing here in the Carolinas, but it's mostly north of where I live, in the Appalachian Mountains. And so we have that. Is there and then Greg McMillan had suggested possibly doing long exposures. So, Matt, what do you think? Should we do leaves since we're sort of in that season, or should we do like long exposures?
I'm gonna say, here's what I say. I say we do leaves, because in the very near future, we're going to experience the daylight savings time change.
Oh, that's right. I think that's November 1st.
I think. I don't know when it is. I don't want to know because I hate that.
I know.
It's probably the second weekend of November. Oh my gosh! No, you're right. It's November 1st. Oh man,
we're a week and a half away. Day.
In any case, since it'll be dark when you get out of work, you'll have lots of opportunity to do long exposures then.
Yep. Okay. Right? Well, let's do it. We're gonna do leaves. So, in the same way we did our the macro, Instagram's hashtag is going to be Tiny Shutter Leaves with an S at the end. And so if you're on Facebook, I'll have a post to be able to put our images in the comments. That way we keep it all in one place. It worked. I have to say it worked out great. I liked going to one post and being able to scroll down through all the different submissions. It made it very easy to find it. I didn't feel like anybody was left out. And we didn't have to try to search throughout the whole group. So I will start another post. This time it'll be for leaves. It could be fall leaves. It could be any type of leaf. It's just, we'll just keep it at leaves. You guys use your best judgment. Like I said, for Instagram, we'll do Tiny Shutter Leaves as the hashtag. Is that cool with you, Matt?
I like it. I like everything about it.
Good deal. All right. Is there anything else that you want to mention?
No.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Yeah. All right. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Very cool. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, links to Facebook, the YouTube channel, and anything else that we have by going to tinyshutter.com. Follow the links and you will find everything. All the show notes will be All the show notes will be on the website. If there's an app that we mention, you can't find it, you can go to our show notes and be able to find the link, and it'll take you there. If you guys want to contribute to the show, by all means, go on to Facebook and post links to articles. If you have an app you want to review, please do it there. We'll mention it on the show if we like it. And it's a great community. We're seeing a lot of good stuff over there. And it will inspire you, and you'll be surprised on what you'll find there. So don't hesitate to go to Facebook and join our group. We have a lot of great people there. I don't think we've ever had a problem with any of our listeners in there. It seems like everybody's been top notch and very creative and talented. So
I would agree. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we're working on some things too, to get our YouTube channel going, and there's a possibility that we may be using our photo challenge on YouTube. And so stay tuned for some more information and some of the plans that we have going. So be looking for that. All right. Well, let's go ahead and end the show. So great show, Matt.
Thanks, you too.
And we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?